Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The first encounter with Wahi, revelation. So normally a kitab will start off with namaz, because namaz is the most important pillar in deen. But to get the namaz right, the taharat, the toilet must be right. Because the taharat is the key to the namaz. Without the key, how are you going to get in? So therefore the kitabs will start off with taharat. Then you get some kitabs that are more comprehensive. You call them the jami. So the jami will start off in a more comprehensive note. They will start off with iman. And the reason is that without iman, your deeds are valueless. You're doing anything good as well, habitat a'malun dunya wal akhirah, all will be cancelled without iman. No matter how much of good work and humanitarian work you've done, but no iman, and there is no reward. And even if you are in iman, then proportionate to the strength of the iman is the reward. You need some good work, whatever, but the strength of the iman, and that will decide the reward, how strong the iman was. And the reason is obvious. When the iman is strong, then your understanding and your vision will be different. The students at Koni or in Jamaat, different places in Ramadan, will impress upon them the importance of doing the door, pair up twos or threes or fours, and do your tarawih. See that your tarawih is done, because your parents put so much of effort, your staff put so much of effort to make you hafiz. Now, you don't do that 1 year, and the next year you're gone. So, you need to do this, tarawih, and go in Jamaat as well. But then pair up threes, fours, and see that your tarawih is done. So they were out on Gush in East London. So they couldn't find a rehber, a non-Muslim, so I'll guide you to Muslim homes. Two times one house, right? There were no men there, so they couldn't do much. Took them to the second house, and the man came out. So Cape Townians generally, they are quite free. They speak openly, not like us, you know, we speak a bit in circles. They speak free, straight. So the Jamaat saw that the house was decorated in Ramadan, balloons and whatever else, you know, they used for decorating. So they asked, now what happened? Why is this decorations? Say, no, we heard of the Arabs that in the month of Ramadan, as a sense of joy and happiness, they decorate the homes. For a sunnah, so if you just regard it, now in Gush, now if you take the person very gradually, you can't take him to your level straight away. Because he's growing up, gradually you speak to the person, bring him to a level, and then you correct him. Like how when you are doing the rotis, right, then you can't just put it when the tawa is cold, the pan is cold, you can't put the dough there. You have to see it's nice and hot, and then you put it, and then very quickly it makes up. So anyway, they went there, called the man, spoke to the man. So the man said, this is what happened. And then he says, no, his wife is a revert. And alhamdulillah, without fail, she's in Quran Sharif. Several khadams she's already made, 5, 6 khadams. What about your children? So one was about 9, 10 years of age, in a motor car accident, he passed away. Call the other son. The other son, you'll have to go and see him. he can't come to you. So he led them to his room, and that child was about 28 years of age and totally handicapped. He lost the muscle tissue, can't move his hand. He lost the tissue of his leg, he can't use, can hardly talk, can hardly understand. But now what they do is they pray the Quran Sharif in his presence. They will try and do the namaz, whatever recitations there, so that he is familiar with deen. But there's no movement, hardly can't communicate. He's lost all the strength in his body, physical and mental strength. So he can't communicate. So anyway, they were talking to the person. But now you can't underestimate the iman of some people. Sometimes you feel ashamed of yourself when you see yourself with these people here. This man says, now see what he is, what predicament he is in. But he says, I'm so grateful to Allah. He's crying out of gratitude and happiness. I'm so grateful to Allah Ta'ala. So grateful, I'm so happy for Islam, so happy for a Muslim home, so happy for a Muslim wife, and I'm so happy. I can't express my thanks. And what he's going through, he says, I can't express my thanks. And then he says, crying, he says, you know, if all the oceans were ink and the trees were made into pens, still I can't. It's impossible for me to thank Allah Ta'ala for this favor of Islam, for the favor of Iman, for the favor of a Muslim home. You see now where his mind took him. And the need to meet our Muslim brothers. They're all distancing themselves away. Now, we can't have the attitude, you go your way, and I go my way. But now, slowly we have to pull them, rope them in. They're drowning, and they don't realize that they are drowning. The other advantage is, you come across such people, you know, whose iman is pulsating, iman is so great. But you see these people now, in kana abaukum, وَبْنَاوْكُمْ, and then it comes up, وَعَشِيرَتْكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اِكْتَرَفْتُمُهَا وَتِجَارَتُمْ, the wealth, right, that you have earned, palatial homes that you enjoy, right, تِجَارَتُمْ, and the businesses that you are afraid that the business must go down, right, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, so the wealth, the homes, and the businesses, there are three main concerns, your wealth, your home, and your investments. Every person in this day, that's his main concern. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't say, you know, just do away with the wealth, throw it away. He didn't say that. All he says is, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that thing mustn't take first place. Allah Ta'ala is Rasul wa jihadin fi sabili. The first place is Allah Ta'ala, then is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jihadin, striving his path. And everybody has to strive, and then he'll strive according to his means, his capacity. But he must strive. Strive means not just a casual effort, but work hard. For his deen, his preservation, Ramadan time comes, and every year Ramadan comes, I think it was Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar al-Salimi, that he found the statement was Umar Ali radiallahu anhu, that he's making dua for Umar radiallahu anhu, أنار الله قبره كما أنار أنرت مساجدنا. May Allah Ta'ala brighten your grave like Umar, you brightened our masjid with Quran Sharif. So what an atmosphere, the whole Ramadan, an atmosphere. So an atmosphere of reciting and reading with someone, right? And then an additional blessing is the Taraweeh namaz, right? You think to yourself, if Umar radiallahu anhu didn't institute this Taraweeh, reading the Quran and reciting, what would have happened to most of the Hafizes? They would have forgotten, right? They've learned and they would have forgotten. So he brought this up, and this was such a blessing to the Ummah, you know, can't forget the book. Right? The Hafiz will be worried as Ramadan comes, he's worried. And another Hafiz will be such, he says, why must I have this worry every year? Let me do it very well throughout the year. When Ramadan comes, I just pass it with ease. It's a breeze in the park. So I'm doing it so well. And the people think in different ways, but whichever the way they think, they would see that the Quran Sharif is preserved. So the same maxim must be used on deen and deen knowledge. You should learn it and practice it and teach it. Learn it, practice it and teach it. Carry on. Learn, practice and teach. So that deen becomes strong. And learning, practicing and teaching, sometimes you correct him. And Ide, but you was going under the anchor, right? And the Arab the abaya that you get, and then you have to be balancing it all the time. Because the speed goes a little bit this side, but it goes this side. And now we're not used to wearing this thing, that thing went down. So Mala corrected me, alright, after the bayan. But I would have been more grateful if you correct me straight. At that spot, correct, I was grateful, but even more grateful, because now, if someone saw me in that state, he would think that it's not wrong. Right? So I'm standing there, giving a bayan, right? And I'm giving a wrong message through my practice, isn't it? So the better thing would have been, correct it straight away. Then, even better thing was, do it physically. Man ra'a minkum munkaran, فَلْيُغَيِّرُوا بِهِ Correct it straight. Like on Ramadan, now the mic is like this, one will come in, correct it. So فَلْيُغَيِّرُوا بِهِ That's even greater. And you can't for some reason, then the second is verbally. But all these are all good points we learn from Ramadan. And then we have to have that heart of learning and teaching all the time. It mustn't be now, who is this person to come and correct me, what he thinks of himself. That attitude, that is the first thing that we are taught in Tasawwuf, break that attitude. Otherwise the whole road to learning and progressing, that breaks. The whole road to learning. But as I say, these kitabs now, they start off with Iman. Right? But now, Bukhari Sharif will find, before the Iman, he starts off with Wahi. So what's the link? Iman and Wahi. The link is simple. The iman is learned through wahi. How do you learn iman? مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي Through wahi, أُوحِيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا The wahi taught you. What is iman? مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي In other words, the Nabi from birth, he's in iman, right? But the details of iman, I explained in time, right? Like for example, one of the details of iman is there is a thing like scaling of the deeds. There is a thing like receiving the books of deeds, right? So these details will be explained in time. But the Nabi, from birth, he'll have that iman that there is a day of Qiyamah. There is a thing like one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That from the birth, he has got that knowledge. But the details are explained to the Nabi in time. But now, that wahi will teach you iman. And the iman is like the foundation. Without which that building, that edifice can't stand. So the stronger the iman, the stronger the weight of the action. Action will get the strength proportionate to the iman. Right? And then there will be situations where you will be tested out, be tried out. It's not that يَقُولُ آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ that you just said لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ and there's no trial. It's going to be trials. Yusuf alayhi salam is an infant, right? He sees a dream, and then it wasn't much time after that that his own siblings had conspired to assassinate him. Uqtulu Yusuf. Didn't they conspire? Awitarahuhu. So there's going to be trials, you're going to be set with trials. And each one will have a different trial. And in the trial, you can't say, why was this trial placed upon me? You can't have that. See, Allah says, La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wahum yus'alu. He is not answerable. Because he is the grand planner, and he is the maker, he is the doer, he is the sovereign, he is the king. You can't ask him why you did this to me. And you got the right. It's your plot of land, right? The land can't ask you, that's what one spot can't ask you, that why did you make a toilet on this spot, on this area? Can he ask you? Hey, you shut up. It's my property, I'll do as I want. I know what is right. You just keep quiet. Stay there. So we are just the furniture. It is Allah Ta'ala. He controls the whole thing. Wahum yus'alun. Yes, what you must be concerned about, wahum yus'alun. For everything that you do, you're going to be answerable. The small that you do. So now, you forgot about your responsibility, and you're getting into Allah Ta'ala's administration. Is it right? Do you understand? With a difficulty, you got a job, right? And now you just got a good job, good salary, everything is good, right? Now, as you got the job, you're asking the boss, but why must you open up at 8 o'clock? Can't we open it, you know, after Zohar and close it? Asar. Allah Pak gives you. You do your job. You came here to do a job, you just do the job. You don't want the job, see the door. Won't the boss have that attitude? It's my shop, I know how it runs. Don't you say that? He can't come and dictate to you. Because he's got no experience, he doesn't have understanding. The understanding is limited. He can't come and dictate to you how your business runs. So we can't dictate to Allah Ta'ala why it's not like this and why is it like this. It happened, it's decreed, it made it happen, something in Gaza, something in China, something in India. It was his plan. Right? We can't ask why it happened. Yes, under the circumstance, what are we supposed to be doing? So, humne apni zimmedari ko chhod di aur Allah Ta'ala ke baaton mein ulajna shuru kar diya. What we're supposed to be doing, we forgot that. And we're interfering in his administration. Is that right? That is his administration. Let him do his administration. You understand what's your duty. So now you look at the whole story of Yusuf al-Islam as it's panning out, right? So at no point did he ask, or his father asked, Yaqub al-Islam, why did you set me with this trial? First now, attempting to murder, right? Then throwing me to a well, then making up a story in front of the father, pure lie, right? Then, after he's changed hands, he's getting into the palace, and from the palace, he's ending up in prison with a false allegation, right? And you see the false allegation. See the trials. One trial is not finishing at the second one. Second one hardly finishes up at the third one. And trial after trial. But at no point does Yusuf al-Islam ask, why are these trials set upon me? Yes, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Right? قَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. Now the queen is telling him, come, my dear, come. She's infatuated, she can't control herself. But in that circumstance, Yusuf al-Islam asks to himself, under the circumstance, what must I do? See that? He didn't ask, why is this trial set on to me? Yes, he understands what I must do. So any situation, any circumstance, whether Gaza or whether wherever, right? But in that, under the circumstance, we need to ask ourselves, what am I supposed to be doing? One person individually and the entire nation collectively. But what are we required to do? Now we introspect ourselves. We talk more about the news, or we talk about what you must do. So attentively we listen to the news, it's happening here, as though now the whole world's affairs are on your plate, and you have to decide now, alright, China you must do this, Japan you mustn't do this. Wait, who made you the referee? Yes. You ask about the China and the Japan that's within you, the fight that's going on within your mind, right? And you understand that and you correct that. I'm trying to correct that and didn't correct your mind. You got to fight inside here, fighting with someone here, fighting with someone, problem with that one, that one. But this fight's within your mind, and you're not settling those fights. You got some malice there, you got some jealousy, you got some problems there, and those fights, you're not settling it, and you will change and correct the world affairs. Are you fair in what you're doing? Ask yourself. So Yusuf al-Islam at no point says that, why is this? Yes, he knows under the circumstance what I must do. So he says, when she says that, Aida, so look at the statements that he makes. Ma'ad Allah. Allah Ta'ala forbid. Then he's reminding her, right, that you look at the picture in a different way. She's trying to lure him. She says, hey, how beautiful your eyes are, right? That's how they start. Love talk starts from the eye, right? Starts off the eyes. How beautiful the eyes are. Right. And he says, now see where the end that he takes her to. He said, but this is the thing that will decay immediately on death. It'll just turn into water and come over the face. So see where his mind is going. He's teaching us that in a circumstance, you take yourself right to the end. Right? Like in this world, when there's a circumstance, then you take yourself right to the end, right? This thing now, right? I'm going to speed, right? I get a fine. And I get a fine, and this is the circumstance, this is the consequence, right? So when you understand the consequence, then you restrain. Don't you restrain, right? You got some bad habits, right? You're taking some bad substance, right? But now you think of at that time that I'll take this thing here, what will happen to me personally, my family life, my social life, my domestic life. When you think of all these things, that you think of the end, then that will just put the brakes in you. Right? So Yusuf Alayhi Salaam took it right to the end. She is luring him, and he's taking it right to the end. What's going to happen? Right? And he said, what about your cheeks, man? So rosy. He says, that is the fodder of the worms in the grave. See where he's taking it. The fodder of the worms in the grave. Then he asked her, you know, you are trying to lure me, but I see before you could lure me, you covered your images and all your boots you had, all those statues you had covered. No, me, I can't do this. I can't behave like this in front of that. Say, ashamed to you. These lifeless things, you are so considerate. The one that sees everything, you're not considerate of him. See that? The lessons of Tawheed, the lessons of death, and how to bring yourself into alignment. That you think right till the end, and that aligns you. And now, this day and time, this is a problem with 99% of the people, Muslim or Muslim, they don't think of the end. لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. So they don't show any act of kindness. Why? Because they have ruled out Qiyamah. They have totally ruled it out. They have forgotten, they have discarded the Qiyamah. Right? As though they forgetting the Qiyamah, you know. Allah Pak says, يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ أَيَّفْ جُرَ أَمَامَ. What? يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ أَيَّفْ جُرَ أَمَامَ. So he wants to continue with wrong in his future life. What he wants to do? But يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ أَيَّفْ جُرَ أَمَامَ. What he wants to do? He wants to continue with wrong in his future life. يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. So he says, Qiyamah is an impossible thing. Can't happen. Won't happen. So he's deleted it from his mind so that it gives him the license to do as he wants. But if that Qiyamah, that talk of Qiyamah, the belief of Qiyamah, the certainty of Qiyamah is in his mind all the time, can you do that wrong? You'll do it and you'll shiver after that. Won't there be a shiver in his spine? I'm coming to my end. What's going to happen to me? But now he deleted it, and thinking that he's going to delete it and it will save him from Qiyamah. Isn't that stupidity? That's why I give some simple example. You know, a lion is running towards you at full speed, 150 km an hour is running, right? And you are about half a mile distance, or a kilometer distance, right? In 2 seconds you can take a safe refuge. 2 seconds you can just go into a refuge. And instead of taking that shelter, you block your face, close your face. So this is the state of the person who doesn't believe the day of Qiyamah. He's blocking his face from reality. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. So that encounter, that blockage that you had applied to your mind, that blockage goes out. فَبَصُرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Now you can see things in perspective very clearly. Eyes very sharp. But now it's too late. Now your books are closed, class. What you did, you did. What you left out, class. End of the story. So, I was explaining that the strength of the iman will decide the strength of the good deed. How strong your iman is. Now this, Jamal gave me the Kalguzari for last week, right? Another person now, simple person, got a printing press, whatever. Simple, nothing fancy about him. He's not very wealthy, all right, he's doing that for himself, Lavadim Bhargat. He comes here, whatever printing work. But now look at the strength of the iman. So this is what the Jamaat is talking about, by get the iman right. And to get that iman right, you have to get the amal right. And the amal means the zahir and the batin. You can't lose 1 second. The process, the whole Jamaat is like a treatment, a spiritual treatment. So the spiritual treatment, it must be accurate. Do this at this time, at that time. Morning, so many teaspoons. And evening, so many tablets. And you must diet from this thing and don't do this, right? Now you're going for a heavy sugar treatment. And every day you're drinking 2 liters of Coke. Kya hoga? I say, doctor, you're treating me, wasting my time. You're wasting your time. You're not spending the time rightly. You spend the time rightly, inshallah, it's a medication. It will serve you. But you're not using the time correctly. So anyway, we talked about this Muslim printer, right? He's got a good business running, alhamdulillah. He's got a fantastic Hindu client. Look at the story. He also came last week somewhere. He's giving his story. Got a fantastic Hindu client. Team, fantastic business, right through for years in the business. And then he says, you see, I want to print some calendars or something. So he looks at it and says, no, I can't do this job. Why? That calendar's got pictures of his boots, all his gods and all that. I can't do this. He said, but I've been giving you this business for years, so many years I'm giving this. No, I'm sorry, I can't do this. So no, you know, it's not about you worshipping, becoming a Hindu. It's just about business. It's got nothing to do with religion. So I'm sorry, I can't do it. Now then he dropped the last coin. He says, well, then I'm cutting off my business entirely. Lucrative business, carrying on for years. I'm cutting off. Thanks, carry on. But now, what was speaking at that time was his iman. His iman was so strong. In the face of this offer, he said, no, I can't sacrifice my iman for anything. Business goes. It is Allah Ta'ala that provides. You risk the means coming through. Allah Ta'ala provides. You will go, 100 people will come in, right? But he says, you know, the strangest part in this story is not this thing here. Alright, this is also very great that he says, didn't accept that offer. Cut off the client completely, although a very good client for years, right? But he says, you know, what brought me the excitement, where the hadith says, يَجِيدُ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَى. When Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul is more dearer to him than everything else, that is the person that will taste the sweetness of iman. When Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul is dearer to him than everything else, that is the person who will taste the sweetness of iman. As the Shaykh Hamdullah says, that is not just a figurative thing. Tasting the sweetness, not a figure, it's a physical thing. What? It's a literal thing. Literally you'll get the sweetness. So Mullah, you know, the amount of happiness I got, but I've not never in my life. But now he enjoyed the sweetness of iman because he showed that Allah is first in my life, Rasulullah is first in my life. When he showed that allegiance, he had to show it first. Then you think Allah never forgets. Allah doesn't forget. You showed it, Allah gave it to you. See, you showed it, Allah gave it to you. He'll give it to you. But you must show that you are loyal to Allah, you are faithful to Him, and you will see it. Right? Yeah, and iman is about just doing it. Understanding that Allah is the creator, He does, He makes it happen. Everything else will come in His time. But Allah, حَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. How lucrative, how enjoyable, whatever it is. But where, what position you hold Allah Ta'ala at? Is Rasulullah at? Striving in His path. How do you hold it, right? How do you, what level you give it, right? Small little tests come our way, right? Namaz time, and it's clashing with our business. Good client coming in. What do we do at that time? I tell the guys, by for a good namaz, then at least more than half an hour before the namaz can start, close up. For a good namaz. Because you or your client will have to go toilet, make wudu, takes time, right? Then read your sunnah, etc. You are in good state for namaz. But now you're just rushing last minute. then Allah also will treat you the same way. You are treating me like a scrap. You know, your kachara time you are giving me and going, coming out, pulling in, pulling out, right? But you give me prime time, your quality time. You know, came in, itminan, use your toilet, everything, wuzu, came into the masjid at least 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes before the time. Then how happy Allah doesn't feel? That this person is giving me his prime time, his time of business, clients are just pouring in, and at that prime time he gave it to me. You think Allah will forget this? Allah won't forget it. Remember this, and he'll bless you from areas that you can't even imagine. But you take the initiative, you start it off, and then see how it starts rolling. So we're talking of wahi, the first encounter, right? But as Rasulullah says, the first encounter with wahi was حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ الْخَلَوْ. I began to take a liking for seclusion, sometimes for a month, sometimes more or less, right? The Jabir says, and Rasulullah loved the seclusion, right? Now, what was the need for the seclusion? The need for the seclusion is obvious, many reasons they would give. But now, to be able to perform as a good Muslim, the primary thing is your foundations and your routings must be right. But your routings will go right if your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is right. And that will be right when every other relationship becomes secondary and Allah Ta'ala becomes primary in your life. For that, you need to give yourself time. Otherwise, what was the need for the Nabi to give himself time? The need was to get the routing right. I understand that this is the goal. This is where I'm going to, right? This is the person that I'm answerable to. This is the one that brought me here. This is the one that I'm going towards, right? Every second, every moment is from him. The breathing, the life is in his hands, right? I understand the greatest of Allah. So I need to get my alignment right with him. So for that, I need to just park off. Go to a person that will panel beat me, correct me, etc. Then, proportionate to how well he does me, that will be the speed. See the iman? Yeah, how well he does it, that will decide the speed. It will decide the service, right? So how well that iman is done, then that will decide the speed of your Islam. That will decide the speed of your action. Otherwise, everything becomes just a customary thing. If umrah, read namaz, so. I don't say it doesn't have a reward. In his kindness and compassion, he also blesses that person. But obviously, the person who just did it as a customary thing, then the reward comes, but is not the ultimate, not the right reward, not the perfect reward. You get something, but so the idea is get that iman right. So the whole khanqah is designed for that. The jamaat is kind of iman yaqeen ki baat, isko sahi karo, isko durust karo. Get your relationship with Allah Ta'ala right. So, one wahi Rasulullah received in the cave of Hira, Ghara Hira, right? And was trembling with fear, and he asked to be covered, right? What reason? Because that time now it was shown to him that this is your responsibility. Now, such a great responsibility for a person living in Makkah Mukarrama, right? And he doesn't have the outward strategy. He doesn't have. He doesn't have the outward infrastructure, right? Doesn't have it. One single person. He doesn't have the wealth, right? And now he's thinking, what responsibility I've got? Responsibility is now for all mankind, for all times, to the day of Qiyamah. You understand? Nobody receives such a responsibility before him. So, responsibility that was taken on by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's not unprecedented. Unprecedented, greatest responsibility. Right? And right at the end of time, one man said, I'm going to do it. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was also shown, Aap se kaam liya jayega. So he got into a shiver. For a couple of days, he couldn't talk, he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep. Aap se kaam liya jayega. Until Shaykhul Islam, Badani was elder brother, Sayyid Ahmad Hussein, right? He said, Fikr karne ki kya baat hai? What's the need to worry? Because aapko kaha gaya ke aap se kaam liya jayega. Ye nahi kaha gaya ke tum kaam karoge. What was told to you by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Pak will take the work of you. Not that you will strive to do work, Allah Pak will take the time. So then, when Allah Pak likes that person, then Allah engages him. According to the person, everybody doesn't do the same work. Someone is in one department, someone is in a different department. But then, he's endorsed with love. When he's endorsed with love, now he's in the company of love. In the company of love, then Allah will say, alright, you do this work, you do this work, you do this work. You'll make dua and zikr, you'll make ghusl and whatever else. But as the sawab are coming out, there's an equal distribution. Because you're part of the whole company. So anyway, now Rasulullah is being comforted. This is the first encounter. Now the second encounter is now, after this first encounter, there's an interval, there's no wahi coming. In the meanwhile, with that first encounter with wahi, Rasulullah's mind and heart is now just bonding with Jibreel alayhi salam and the heavens. Right? He's not bonding with the earth and his people. So his familiarity, his love, his heart, his mind is just there. He only finds that happiness there. Everything else now, the world now, is absolutely redundant, nothing. The sweetness of the world is gone, but his heart, his mind is just taking to that. And now, for a period now, there's an intermission, there's a gap, there's no way coming. So you can imagine how distressed he must have felt, that his only love, his heart is only there in the heavens. Because he saw the heavenly things with his eyes. When he saw the heavenly thing with the eyes, and he saw the worthlessness of this world, مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا غُرُورٌ, it is just deception, right? So when Allah Ta'ala brought him to that level, and his heart is only there in the hereafter. Now this became redundant, useless, waste, right? And he's walking in Makkah Mukarramah in that state, right? And then he hears a sound and looks up and he sees Jibreel Islam again for the second time. But now he sees Jibreel Islam in full splendor, in his original state. For the first time in his life, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْنَةً أُخْرَى. So he sees Jibreel Islam now for the first time. But in full splendor, beauty, splendor, and he's covered the entire horizon, east to west covered up. Sitting on a chair, suspended between the heavens and the earth. And again, he saw Jibreel, he recognized him straight away. But now he got into a shiva again. So he asked to be covered, right? He comes home, and he asked to be covered. Zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me. Right? So Allah Ta'ala then comforts him. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, a word, a title of love. You know? You love the person, then you give him some title, my beloved. Are amama wale, zara yahan a jao bhai. What a title from the most beloved, right? And give him a title, right? Zara amama wale, idhar ko chale aao. Title of love, right? To comfort Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Qumil layla illa qaleela. Now, it's post Ramadan. And all of us, the heart's desire is that the goodness of Ramadan must continue, right? It mustn't just abruptly end with Ramadan. It must continue, the goodness, right? So there must be a plan. So Allah's plan is perfect, comprehensive. Ramadan, out of Ramadan, but the plan is for all times, for all people, all situations. So you want this goodness and this beauty to continue. So Allah Ta'ala, you can't restrict him to time and place. That you only see him now, at this time, at this spot. So he is all, ma'akum ayna ma kuntum, he's with you. Wherever you be, he's with you. When he's with you wherever you are, then all you need to know is how to get to attract the attention of Allah Ta'ala. You want to attract his special attention. I spoke about Yusuf alayhi salam, and then primary concern is the Allah Pak is watching. Ma'az Allah, inna Rabbi ahsana maswai. Can you see these words? La yuflihu zalimun. You can never prosper. You do all these stupid things here. You can never prosper. for that moment we have some instant gratification. But the horror, the restlessness, the anxiety that will fall after that, you regret why you did that. Then it becomes a habit, a routine now. You did once, experiment for the second time, carries on with that. And you can't stop the thing. Then sometimes you are married, your wife gets to know about it. Then they fight that side. Now you don't feel happy in the house, not happy outside the house. But once you start the wrong lane, go onto the wrong lane, then you are asking for problems right through. So, then the only way is come back to the right lane. You've gone onto the wrong lane, and you want to go right. How can it happen? You took the flight to Australia, you want to go to Makkah Mukarramah. It can never happen. So come back onto the right lane, and things will work out. Allah Pak has made a provision for that person also, who went on the wrong. You also can come right. But then, it's the onus is on you. One person wrote a letter, I could see now, he's messed up, he's really, really worried. He says, unfortunately, I did some kufr, right? Unfortunately. Now I've come back, and I know once you do kufr, then everything is cancelled. Everything. مَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ مَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَبِيْتَ عَمَلُ. Everything is cancelled. He says, now if I come back, will all the past come back, return to me? What I've done in the past, now I've messed it up. But now I've come to my senses. Now that I've come to my senses, can I ever retrieve all that was lost? So I tell him, see, if you are very, very, very sincere, not just sincere, but very, 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 three times, because you already fell once. Now you can't be casual with another, play, come this side, that side, move on this lane, move on that lane. You can't do that. You have to be very, very, very sincere. Absolutely sincere. Number two, you come with a firm resolve, firm determination. And number three is you then correct yourself to the best level. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَأَمِلَ عَمَلًا. See that? أَمِلَ عَمَلًا مَثُولَةً مُطْلَقًا أَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. So much, right? Then Allah Pak says, فُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ حَسَنَاتِ. Then it's hoped Allah Pak will change your wrongs to rights. But you must be absolutely certain. You must be sure. Now you can't play around. You missed it with your wife once, right? Start playing with other girls. Now she is distancing herself from you. At a time that she just fell pregnant, you know, after so many years of trying, 3 years, and she just fell. And then you are jolly around, playing around with someone else. She said, no, I don't want to see you. Now, to restore that relationship, you have to be absolutely perfect. Certain. Show your regret, your remorse, and what correctional measures you're going to take. Right? You have to be absolutely certain about that. You can't be playing around. A small little girl now, and she's going to go, you're going to go, right? It's going to be end of all of you all. Right? But that relationship means so much, especially now when she's expecting your child, right? Means so much with you, to you, that you're doing everything now, just to correct yourself. Now, the one that there isn't a favor that that didn't come from Allah Ta'ala. Everything that's within you is Allah Ta'ala. Whether the strength, the acumen, the intelligence, the brains, the prosperity, the health, everything, there isn't a thing that didn't come. Now, when everything came from Him, then how much sure and how much certain you must be with your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, you want to restore it. And I don't want to play fools now. I don't want to play games now. I'm going to do it, and I will do it the best. Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Coming onto the right lane, now come and try your best. Exert yourself to be the best. But I don't want to make a slip of my eyes, my tongue. I cause enough problems now. Now I don't want to exert myself. I don't want to miss out. So you do that. You go onto that lane. Yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. Then it's likely that Allah will change your wrongs to right. With Allah, you can't play games. People you can deceive, play around, go in circles, all that you can do. But can you do that with Allah? You can't do that. You have to show your loyalty, you have to show your faith. What's the level of your faith? People to restore their relationship with their Mashayikh, they went to lengths, miles they went. Just to see that the Shaykh was disappointed once now, and when he thinks about the situation, he falls into his grip with fear. You know, the man that is taking me to Allah Ta'ala, and I just messed it up with him now. You know, what's going to happen to me? He's an Ansari Sahaba. And he built that home, and Rasulullah SAW turned his face away. What he immediately he got to know, then he smashed the thing down. So he doesn't want that relationship to be affected. He understands. This man is taking me to Allah Ta'ala, and I need to be absolutely right. I can't play around. Make one mistake, come again. You're playing fools there. You're playing games with Allah Ta'ala. So now we want the barakat of Ramadan. Post Ramadan, it must continue. So Allah gives you a whole itinerary, a whole program. You follow the program, Allah will bless you. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stand up in tahajjud. Not the entire night. نِصْفَهُ أَمِنْ قُسْمِنُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلِيقًا. Right. So, about half, less than half, or slightly more than half. Right? So, more or less quarter, one third. That was the first command. Right. First command, that was not the Muslims are just getting, people are just getting initiated into Islam. So, at that level, they need to be rooted, right? So, for them to be rooted, they need to go through a training. The training requires that stand up half the night, or approximately one third, or quarter of the night, stand up, right? So, in between, one idea comes to mind, right? See, the big nights, when you talk about big night, you know, Shab-e-Qadr, Shab-e-Barat, right? Eid nights, right? Understand that these nights start off from Maghrib. The blessings, the goodness, they begin to pour in from Maghrib. Not after Isha. They start off from Maghrib, right? So I make it a habit, I know after Isha, there's another program, Durul Sharif, about 12 o'clock, right? So I make it my routine. So this is a big night, then let me start off at Maghrib, or straight after Maghrib. The eating can be postponed afterwards, so it doesn't matter now. It's a little bit cold, samosas are not so crispy, etc. So it's one of those things now for Ramadan. I say, I must have it crispy and crunchy and all that. Puri zindagi, or crunchy or crispy, chhod do. But now this occasion, Allah Ta'ala has thrown out to you, maximize, take the maximum of it. So it's starting off straight with Maghrib. From there, from that point, you start cracking. Whatever you can do. So the night starts at that point, start cracking at that point. But don't give more Bilal problems. Are you coming at your own time to eat? Say, well, you don't keep for me. Otherwise, you take your food, leave it your side, one side, and look after your utensils. So you've got no additional problem. Right? When you're living together, then you have to be considerate to everybody. Right? He has got to do his ibadat, his zikr, his tilawat. We eat always also, so we are considerate in what we are doing. No, now he's now like the kitchen girl now, and will do all the work at any time. Not that attitude. Then you're going to lose out. You'll win when we are considerate. He's doing a job, you're doing a job. He's got ibadat, you got ibadat, right? So when everybody is doing it, then there must be cooperation, understanding, relaxed feelings, and happiness prevailing. So he'll feel so happy. MashaAllah, these people are so considerate. They cooperate so well, and they work so well. So won't there be du'as coming out from his heart? So doesn't it bring about a love spirit of salah? And I tell the people, by more than half of Islam is about generating love and kindness. First things that is brought in Medina, afshu salam, make it a common place. And then not just a dry meeting, assalamu alaikum, feel also. However you can feed nicely, right? Feed nicely. You don't have to bring everybody at home. Feed the person nicely. Respect. Muslim, non-Muslim, but feed the person. And then, silul arham, maintain good family ties. However, you don't have to become too close at every function, but maintain good healthy relationship. However, whatever it takes, WhatsApp, this, that, whichever way, make salam to the person, good words. Even if that person was aggressive, you don't become aggressive. You become the winner. You want to be aggressive with his aggression, then you squared up, you didn't gain, got anything, you didn't get it. But how will you be the winner? So, that kindness, you reply to the aggression. So many occasions just to promote love and kindness. You're smiling at your Muslim brother, or his sawab, sadaqah. You make meeting the person, right? Making musafa against sadaqah. Right? A good word, qawlun ma'ruf, covered the false good words against sadaqah, right? Then again, some small act of kindness, right? You park correctly, or you tolerated someone. You parked your car correctly, got a sawab. Then you tolerated someone that misparked, he didn't park right. So you are fuming at that time. You're like, what this person, what the hell he's got to do? Right. At that time, you'll be fuming, obviously. So no, this for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, which he doesn't know. He doesn't know about deen. So he messed it up. Some other occasion, when he's in a nice mood, I'll speak to him. So you tolerate it against sadaqah. Right? Again, you came home. As you enter in your home, you clean your teeth, you know. So I have to tell the student, but you have to do these things, by please. Don't have a foulish smell as you're coming home now. See your, you know, no smelling underarms or that, and your teeth. Because if you're married now, right, so there's going to be a close relationship. If that foul smell was coming from her mouth, what happens? So the same when this foul smell is coming from your mouth. Understand, there's a sawab again. But everything to promote love and muhabbat. But one of the things in this age that destroys muhabbat and makes it customary and just artificial is the phone. Unfortunately to say it, right? See, Asbab and Nazair is a book on fiqh. It shows all the guidelines, main, proper, broad guidelines. So they talk about يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Bring out a beautiful guideline. Wine and games of chance, this is good in it also. Put 1 rand, you got 1 million rand, right? It's good. But Allah Pak says, wine and games of chance, the harms are greater than the good. So anything in this world costs some good as well. Even number two for some good, you can use it for fertilizer, right? But you see now that the good outweighs the wrong, or the wrong outweighs the good. So they bring about a law there. But in a situation is an element or a device, the wrong outweighs the good, then it's not permissible to keep. Now I ask you, ask yourself, right? Any person that's gone through this, he knows the wrong. You don't have to explain the wrong. By now, you don't have to explain that. On one side, look at this law, and then again, look at the Quran. The Quran says, "Tilka hududu Allahi fala taqrabuha." Allah Pak has set lines, limits. Don't come close to it. Now I ask you, how close is a smartphone from you? How close? Can you find anything closer? Just a press of a button, you're already in porn, aren't you? You already have just one press. So are you close to those lines of Allah Ta'ala, or you kept yourself a distance away? So you're going to mess up your life, family life is going to be destroyed. So eliminate it from the root, not in the family, not with you. Not with the family, not with you. Basic, simple, you talk, there's a need, you spoke, and they spoke. That's basic things. But beyond the basic things, I would say, not even for a recipe. Other women say, what about a recipe, this, that, all. But I ask you, aren't they human? Can they fall? You can fall, can they fall as well? So aren't you responsible? Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum. You look after yourself, look after them. So you need to communicate, we don't dispute, so have a simple phone. All that, I said, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Understand that line. What's dearer to you? All these things here, or Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala is dearer than this man here, see what he lost the client, that's what the secret of Allah Ta'ala. And how Allah Ta'ala replaced him. Just understand the law, right? And تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, right? لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ السَّيْدِ تَنَالُوا أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ. You're going for Hajj, Umrah. That's the manner, you're going by horse, etc. Right? You're coming to wilderness, etc. So Allah Pak says, you're going to be tried by some game, you know, you're going and easily. تَنَالُوا أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ. It's well within the reach of your hands. Lances, just one shot and you got the thing. So Allah Pak is trying you. Are you going to go for that? Or are you going to keep Allah Ta'ala, give Allah Ta'ala the first place? So this age, تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ, is within the reach of your hands. That is the trial. So easy thing is, by put for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, Ramadan came now, Ramadan went, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I am just shelving this away, just the basic. Now the worst scenario is someone saying, but my business is this. Then I say to people, keep it in your business area, strictly just to the business, don't move it from there for 1 second. Just business. Right? You need to do banking, whatever else, but just at the business area, After that, no relationship. But the thing, until the next day, or after the weekend, long weekend, or after the holiday, you can't see that thing afterwards. Otherwise, no. You ask the average person, he will tell you, at least, even Ramadan, 1.5-2 hours is going to that. What you got out of it? Something happened in Gaza. What you eat for Gaza? Nothing. Did you get anything substantial out of it? It's a waste of time, waste of energy, waste of money. Allah was saying, Tilka hududullah, these are the limits, these are lines of Allah Ta'ala. Don't interfere with this. Don't come close to it. So Allah is guiding you in His compassion, in His love, in His knowledge, in His wisdom, He's telling you over it. So we're coming now again back to the story. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So this, إِنَّ نَاشِيَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْعَبْ. The main obstacle on this path is your nafs and shaitan. That's going to come right to the day you die. That is going to come on your way. It's going to smash you there, smash you there. It's going to give you a very horrific ride, a bumpy ride, a terrible ride for you. Who's these two players? Shaitan and nafs. At any given time. See, there's two enemies. One is the enemy that is visible, and you're going to be striving against him. That enemy that is visible, and you're working and striving against him, right? Both ways you win. You smash him down, you won. You got mala ghanimat, right? And he smashed you down, you became shaheed. But that was the enemy that was visible, right? But that enemy that is not visible and you can't kill is your nafs. Can't kill is shaitan. Right? He made dua, anzirni ila yawmi yubasun. Display me right till the end, right? So, you can't eliminate him. And if you smash him already, you're winning. But if he's smashing you, he smashes you, going to Jahannam. Nafs is smashing you, you're going to Jahannam. So this is an enemy you can't play around with. You have to be on your guard all the time. Other it was keep ringing on the mind. Barosa nahi is nafs ammara ka. This nafs you can't trust for a second. I was going to trip you, way to take you, one side, what way is going to take you? Allah knows. Just went into a wrong company, a wrong site, a wrong person, wrong habit, what happens to you? To come back onto the lane, is it an easy thing? Ask yourself. So Allah Pak speaks about this, how to control and how to manage the nafs, suppress the nafs. Inna nashiyata layli hiya ashaddu wat'a. Rising up, nashiya, rising up at night, right? That here ashaddu watan, right, is most effective in trampling the nafs. See, the nafs has to be trampled, it has to be smashed, it has to be kept in its place, right? So you know, demand all the time, hey, what about the coffee shop, man? But you didn't go to Spurs, you know, can't be such a big buzzu that you can't go to Spurs, so everybody enjoying. So the nafs is going to tempt you all the time. What about you didn't go to see this mall, just opened up now, and you didn't see that mall? You know, a new Muslim, right? New Muslim, 4 years in Islam now. So he tells me, now see how they see it. Professional person, new in Islam. So he says, you know, about a week or 2 weeks before Eid, wife is insisting I must buy a dress for her. So we went to the mall. But he says to me now, this is a new Muslim, new, just 4 years in Islam. He says, you know the darkness I felt, miserable I felt. I felt so miserable, I couldn't tolerate the place. But because of my wife, I had to just do it. Right? Then I asked him, all right, you know, you're 4 years in Islam. Can you tell me that you didn't go to these places before you Islam? I went. At that time, could you perceive the darkness? No. Now I really feel the darkness. I feel the darkness. I can see the darkness. But you see, Allah Ta'ala ne unki aankh ki roshni ko khol diya. Allah Ta'ala opened. So, we shun these places that will deprive us from the special attention of Allah Ta'ala. We don't say it's haram, but we know what it can do to you, right? Someone is driving at 250, he won't say he did something haram. Will you say that? But you know the consequence that come after that. You know what happens. To come back onto the lane, how difficult. They may just pull away your license from you, jail you, give you a heavy fine, right? There are a lot of things they can do. But you look at the consequence, and I don't want to take the chance. Nobody says that you're doing haram. But will you take a chance? You don't take a chance. So the thing that will control the nafs is this nasiyatul-layl, rising up by night. But to get that in order, then what's required is zahiran and batin, you are right. Outwardly you are right, and from within you are right as well. That means you're not bearing and harboring any malice, any jealousy, you're not despising anybody, and you don't have suspicions about any people. Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah says, I saw someone making dua and crying, and the thought, you know, I entertained the thought that he's doing it for show or something, right? Says, for 6 months I was deprived from tahajjud. He's a leading muhaddith. He's a contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah, one of the leading muhaddithin. Imam Bukhari and all will come under his students, right? But now he says, now you have to be so particular about this zahir and batin. I ask you this wrong, was it something zahir or batin? Something internal, external. So you have to be careful about external and the internal. Inna nashiyatal layli hi ashaddu wat'a. So it will suppress, it's most effective in suppressing your nafs. Ya ashaddu wat'an. And the other qiraat is ashaddu wita'an. Wita'an liwati'u bihi. Iddata ashuril haram, right? Mu'atat means to conform, right? So, ya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila, to bring right conformity in the pronunciation. The pronunciation is right. Because at that time when you're reading the Quran Sharif, the main thing at the tahajjud is the Quran Sharif. Main thing at tahajjud is Quran Sharif, whether namaz or whether you recite. But that's the main thing, right? So the reciting of the Quran Sharif at that time, that just conforms. Why it conforms to your heart? Because at that time everything is calm and still. The bazaars aren't operating, cars aren't running, it's nothing, absolutely still. When it's absolutely still, calmness is prevailing. Then the word of Allah Ta'ala will sit straight into your heart. Because there's no disturbance, there's no interruption, there's nothing. It's just between you and Allah Ta'ala, and you're reading the Quran Sharif. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, correct pronunciation, and a sweet voice. It doesn't mean it was really like Karibasis at that time. No. A sweet voice, but pronunciation is right, and you're reciting, and it's just you and Allah Ta'ala. That thing just goes into your heart. يَشَدُّ وَطْأَوْا وَأَقْوَ مُقِيلًا, pronunciation is right, the voice is right, there's no external interference and interruption, so it just permeates straight to your heart. See, the importance of tahajjud and what he does to the person. Therefore, it was a general pattern for the Sahaba Ikram to do this tahajjud namaz, but at the latter portion of the night, although the Qiyamul Layl Sawab is from the beginning, but the actual Sahaba Ikram's time, Nabi's time, was the last one third of the night, right? One third, that was the time. But to get this right, then you have to be particular in governing the time after Isha. To get the tahajjud right, you have to be particular in governing the time after Isha. Unless it's a very important dini program, tabligh program, you attend the program, mashwara is important. Right? Very important. Not just koi takaza hai. No. You made a takaza, everything is takaza. Before the koi takaza. Everything. Takaza is a genuine need, a proper genuine need. That's a different thing. Otherwise, it's not a takaza. It's just one of those things you can do. Is have to go for a bribe or a takaza. It's not a takaza. So, all these things, let them happen before Isha. Friend or no friend. Because you're going to interrupt your whole night. You're going to miss out and you can't recover that. You lost the night, can you recover that? Nice, gently, friendly, lovingly, kindly, you tell the person like Dawud, etc. Maybe before Isha, I can't manage after Isha. Or something, whatever. So in that now you're steeping right. You've got family time. You can make ta'lim. You can see your children in Quran Sharif. You're making zikr. You're making dua. But you got the time. Well, now you went into Dawud and all these type of places. You mushed out the family time, ta'lim, zikr, Quran Sharif, namaz. Everything got eaten up. Then you're coming for Fajr namaz, sluggish. I don't know why his mom started reading so long namaz. Just wanting him to finish. But you messed it up at the first portion of the night. You're paying for it now. Your namaz is not right, your Quran Sharif is not right, your dua is not right, your zikr is not right, everything is messed up. But for this business to turn, you need to invest in the first portion of the night. First portion of the night, don't waste it. take the maximum of it. That's the first portion of the night. So that your investments are coming out right at the end. At the end, it's going to come, you're going to see the investment. It will come right, you didn't spoil the night. Inna nashiyat al-layli hi ashaddu wat'a wa aqwamu qila. People want to become handsome, and women become pretty, right? So, this hadith it says, من طال صلاته في الليل حسنت وجهه في النار. You read a lot of namaz, etc. at night, nicely, properly, not rushing, nicely, properly. Then, immediately Allah puts beauty on your face. They're putting cream and lipstick and powder and all that, it's all artificial. Real beauty comes from Allah Ta'ala. You want the real beauty, من كسرت صلاته في الليل حسنت وجهه في النار. You do the tahajjud and you see, there's an attraction on the person's face. He's old, but hey man, there's some attraction I see in this person's face. Where it came from? That's Allah Bakhti. So you don't have to use too much of mehndi, too much of powder, too much of mirror. You know, small girls now, at home, actually, you know, they must look at the mirror, you know. Let's look at the mirror. Look at this side, that side, the scarf, how it's. So you tell them, boy, the mirror won't make you pretty, please. It's your tahajjud that will make you pretty. Your taqwa that will make you pretty. Now, they've got different styles, they've got scarf, they like this and like that. Then leave it however it is. But get that tahajjud right, get that Quran Sharif right, and get the taqwa right, and then you blame me if there's no beauty in your face. The beauty will come taqwa, tahajjud, and Quran Sharif. You get that, and you win, you running. Inna nashiyata al-layli yashaddu wat'aw waqwamu laka fin waqwamu. Inna laka fin nahari sabhan tawila. In the day, you have got a long, prolonged occupation. Sometimes tabligh, sometimes ta'aleem, sometimes you have to make islah people, right? Sometimes give them some guidance, some hope. Someone passed away, condolence, someone is sick, you visit them. Some business you need to attend to, right? For your own need, right? So there's a prolonged occupation in the day, right? What are things you have to do? Was in the lakafin nahari sabhan tawila, right? So that means the Quran is telling you, then distribute your time, understand. You divide your time, distribute your time correctly. So the day, leave it for all these occupations. But the night was kuris warabbik. Then leave it entirely, devote yourself entirely for Allah Ta'ala at the night. The day, leave for this. So the ulama can explain that even those that are involved and engaged in dini khidmat, they also, because this address is to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and could there be a greater muwallid than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a greater teacher than him, a greater abid than him? He was the greatest in every respect. But he was also distributing his time, day, all these things there, and night for this. You see that? So he is.